Arthur Conan Doyle published A Study in Scarlet in 1887, and it launched the career of Sherlock Holmes. 1887, just 1 year before the monster Jack the Ripper was spreading terror throughout London's East End. Quite a coincidence. Perhaps an even bigger coincidence is that one of the great monsters of fiction arrived just a year before Sherlock. The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was published in 1886. Now, even if you have never picked up that slim novella that was written by Robert Louis Stevenson, you will know the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the good doctor who creates a drink that has the power to transform him into a monster who can indulge his every whim without suffering a moment of remorse. In one scene, Robert Louis Stevenson describes, two men chance to be walking. Mr. Enfield and his companion, a lawyer, Mr. Utterson. Mr. Enfield stopped. Then he said, I was coming home from some place about 3 o'clock of a black winter's morning, and my way lay through a part of town where there was nothing to be seen but lamps, street after street, all lighted up as if for a procession, and all as empty as a church. All at once I saw two figures, one a little man who was stumping along at a good walk, and the other a girl of maybe 8 or 10 who was running as hard as she was able down a cross street. Well, sir, the two ran into one another naturally enough at the corner. And then came the horrible part of the thing. For the man trampled calmly over the child's body and left her screaming on the ground. It wasn't like a man. It was like some damn juggernaut. Interesting that neither Mr. Enfield nor Mr. Utterson thought that a girl of 8 or 10, out on the street at 3 o'clock on a black winter's morning, required any kind of explanation or even a comment. Robert Louis Stevenson obviously didn't feel the need to explain to his middle-class readers that in the squalor of Victorian London, a child could be abroad at any hour. Children on the streets at night, even a bitter and dark winter's night, was something so common in the London slums that it needed no commentary. Robert Louis Stevenson was born in Edinburgh in 1850. Suffered from health problems, one of which may well have been tuberculosis. He would lay awake, coughing. He said sometimes he would make himself stay awake so as to avoid the terrifying nightmares that would fill his sleeping hours. In 1884, he moved his little family to Bournemouth, which, with its clean air and mild climate, was a health resort. His father, the lighthouse engineer Thomas Stevenson, bought them a house. Robert moved in with his American wife, Fanny, and her 16-year-old son, Lloyd Osborne. His health, though, deteriorated, and he was really able to leave the house. Not all bad news, though. This was a period of literary outpouring. A Child's Garden of Verses, Prince Otto, Kidnapped, and The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The nightmares of his childhood didn't disappear, but as a writer, he welcomed them as a source of inspiration. During one nightmare, he screamed so loudly and with such horror that Fanny woke him up. He had dreamed the first part of the tale, up to Jekyll's transformation into Hyde. 3 days of feverish writing, page after page. Then he read the finished manuscript aloud. Lloyd, his stepson thought it spine-chilling. But his wife Fanny said, "It was a piece of magnificent sensationalism instead of an allegorical masterpiece." Stevenson was furious. Lloyd was driven from the room by the ferocity of the row. But when Stevenson calmed down, he accepted the criticism. He rewrote it after first throwing the piece of magnificent sensationalism into the fire. It was published the next year, in 1886, and it was a huge bestseller. Here and in the USA, where the actor Richard Mansfield negotiated the rights to turn it into a play. And Jekyll and Hyde became a widely used and instantly recognised phrase. And all arising from the nightmares of Stevenson. Did those nightmares include visits by Eugene Chantrelle, who in 1878 was hanged by the neck? Born in France, the multilingual Chantrelle taught Latin, Greek, German and French at a private school in Edinburgh. He formed a relationship with one of the pupils, a 15-year-old girl called Elizabeth Dyer. In an attempt to avoid problems, he married Elizabeth. He was then 34. His wife was just 16. His wife had 4 children and 10 years of torment and abuse. Eugene Chantrelle's abusive and immoral habits shaped his lifestyle and landed him with money problems. In October 1877, he took out a life insurance policy on his wife, making sure to include accidental death in the agreement. Just 2 months later, on New Year's Day 1878, Elizabeth was found unconscious. Chantrelle blamed her death on poisoning from a faulty gas pipe. But Professor McLagan at the Royal Infirmary said she'd been poisoned by morphine. The jury came to a guilty verdict in just 1 hour and 10 minutes. It was then discovered that Chantrelle had enjoyed serving cheese snacks to dinner guests. Snacks he had poisoned with morphine. There were at least 4 other victims. Victims not poisoned for financial gain, but for pleasure. Stevenson would have read the case with amazement. The erudite Chantrelle had been an urbane and entertaining companion at a number of soirees that Stevenson had attended in Edinburgh. Eugene Chantrelle was a classic example of that Jekyll and Hyde type we term a psychopath. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was published in 1886. Just 2 years later, in 1888, a German doctor, Julius Koch, wrote about his latest research. He called the work a short textbook of psychiatry. In it, he wrote about what he called the psychopathic disposition. He described it as a recognizable mental infirmity that would often lead to anomalies in excitability and primordial instinctive impulses. His use of the term psychopath in 1888 caught on in psychiatric circles. Interesting, because 1888 turned out to be the year of the psychopath. The psychopath we call Jack the Ripper. It's a fascinating tale. I want to tell you more. And if you join me on Yours Truly, Jack the Ripper, I'll be able to share it with you. Just book now. Pick a date. Thanks for listening.